First of all, I want to thank you for coming out. Thank you for your presence. And if it wasn't for you this here, there would be no need for me to be here. And I know the number was small, but hey, little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is on the scene. So we know that the Lord is here with us this morning. I've already felt His presence. I feel His presence each and every day, and I thank Him for that. But if you will, this morning, turn to the book of Peter, 1 Peter. Yeah, the very verses that I was going to read, and I was just going to look upon it. So, but this morning, I'm going to try to tie some of it in together and everything, but 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to be reading from verse 1 down through 11. But when you see right here that not only that we can see where Jesus Christ, where He's been preached, and you know, that's what we need to do more and more of today. We need to preach more about Christ instead of things. But and I'm just as guilty of that. But we do. We need to preach more by Him. And if you know, if we start off the right way and everything, and we read the scripture about Him, I know we may get off on chasing rabbits or something like that once in a while. But if we do, we can always get back to the foundation of it. But here in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffer us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reviling, banqueting, and abominable idolatry. All of these things was made by men," what I just read. But it says in verse 4, it says, "Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitudes of sin. The hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak Let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God is all things, may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Over here in chapter 5, in verse 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. In verse 16 in chapter 4, it says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of thy soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. We know that we're about ready to approach the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know what the Old Testament had came about. We know in the book of Malachi, from the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew, it was 400 years of silence between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew. 400 years of complete silence. We need to realize too that if we don't have the right mind, and if we don't have the right type of love, then we will also walk without the Lord. There will be a time when we will go from day to day, week to week, without Him speaking to us. So this morning I want to bring a message on this, the rest of my life. The rest of my life. We know the Lord Jesus Christ, He gave His life for us. But first of all, He had to leave heaven. He had to leave heaven where He beheld His place there in heaven. And then His Father come to Him one day and said, Son, says you have got to leave for a while. You've got to leave and you've got to go to earth where sin is rampant on every side. People today, they are men are lovers of men and women are lovers of women. They don't know how to love. They don't know how to forgive. So I want you to go to earth. And I want you to be born to a virgin. And her name is Mary. That's when the Holy Ghost come down in a special way and indwelt within Mary. And where Mary, where she conceived a child. And His name would be called Jesus, the Messiah. Once a wonderful counselor. He is everything to us. But he had a job, specific job to do. Did you realize that we have a specific calling upon ourselves today? That we must do everything possible, everything that we can, to get as many people in the kingdom of God. And if we do that, if we will show people our love toward them, I just don't believe that they can continue on going without the Lord Jesus. I know that we go around and we invite people to church. People, I don't know what it is, but people just don't want to come to church. The world has so much more to offer them. But what they don't realize, what the world is offering them, is this destination to hell. That's what the world is offering them. Because that's what Satan is. That's what he is there. He's the liar. And he's the father of all lies. He lied to me for 30 years. Telling me everything's going to be okay. And if I was looking for a job, see, don't worry about it. Just hang out. Go and see that individual about this job. And we'll go and we'll do it. But we don't have the Lord Jesus on our side as we go. Because when we approach the people, we approach the people with an arrogance about us. We may sound like that a kind individual. We may sound like a loving type of individual. But people can sense a type of arrogance within us if we don't watch it. We need to possess his mind, his ability. Like I said earlier, little as much when God is in it. So what is that saying? We may have a small group of people here, but God's still in it. And much can come out of it. Why? Because we are faithful. We're trying our very best to keep things alive. We're trying our very best to keep our minds alive. Because if we don't watch it, we can get to the point of saying, well, I don't know. I just don't see no need in going back. You know, the preacher, he's been there for 2, going on 3 years now, and says, we've had some people come in, and then they've left, and they hadn't come back. Don't know if it's the preacher or what. I don't know either. Only the Lord knows that. But I will tell you this. It's not because of who I am. It's not because of what I do. It's because of what and who I am and the type of love that I have towards people. I love people. I love all types of people. I could tell you some people right now that just as soon for me to go out here and commit suicide. They don't like me. They've talked about me. They've run me down. They've run my family down. But you know what? I love them. I love them. And yes, and I've been to some of them. And I have apologized. I says, I don't know what I've done or anything, but if I've done anything at all, if I even looked at you the wrong way, I'm sorry. You know the reason I do that? Because God's word commands it. God's word says that we have to be the first one. We have to be the first one that says things to people. We have to show our love towards people. How can I show my love towards that individual that despises me if I don't know speak to them? How are they going to sense any type of love? They're not. So we need to possess the mind of Christ. We don't know exactly what is on his mind, but we do have his word. And his word tells us what we must do. The word tells me what I must do. The word tells me who I'm supposed to speak to. The word also tells me who the individuals are that I'm supposed to love. I'm supposed to love all people. That's what God's word says. God's word says charity, what? Nothing but love. We need to show people our love. And that's what Jesus Christ, that's what he left heaven for. That's the reason God the Father wanted his son to leave heaven for. So people could look to him and see something in his life that they haven't seen in anybody else's life on earth. Because the only thing that they seen was sin. Sin was rampant. That's the reason it was 400 years between the book of Malachi, the Old Testament, and the New Testament. 400 years was because of sin. Because of what? The people of Israel there. They just said, Israel, the Jewish people, is God's chosen people. Israel is God's chosen nation. It became a state once again back in 1948, in the month of May. It come back. And when it come back, they had felt the presence of God. They had felt God's love upon their life. Sometimes I'm there in the study, and sometimes I'm there just meditating and I get to thinking and everything. And just the sense of God's love will just bring up chill. The old chill bumps off. Well, I call them Holy Ghost bumps all over me. Why? Because I know it's not of me. It's of God. It's of God. I love God. Do you love God? Do you? Do your family love God? Do they love God enough to where they would be willing to sacrifice a little of their time? The rest of our time. The rest of what time that we have on left here on life, we must count for something. What are we going to count for? Is my life going to count for anything? Is anybody going to ever be able to come up here and view my body if I go by the grave? And they're going to say, you know, I got upset with him that one time. I just couldn't have fellowship with him and everything. But you know something? He stayed true to God. That's what I want to leave. I want to leave a legacy behind to where will my wife and my daughter and my family can be able to look to and say, well, I just did not give up and I did not give in because of Satan and because of the sin that's in the world. Yes, I have a brother that's still lost and I'm praying for him every day. I do believe this, that the Lord's going to save him one particular day. I believe that. I just don't believe God can lay someone on your heart for salvation and then not God perform the miracle. Because you know of all miracles, that's the greatest of all miracles, is the miracle of salvation. Because that miracle gives us a home in heaven, and it takes away the thought of us dying and going to hell. You can go out here and you can ask the average individual out here on the highway and in the byway today and ask them, do you believe in hell? Oh, no. I don't think a loving God like you preach about will send me to hell. I said, you know something? You're right. You're absolutely 100% right. Matter of fact, you're 150% right. God's not going to send you to hell. You're sending your own self to hell. He has given you a choice. He's given us a free will. And that free will for us to make the choice, the right choice. Yes, we get up in the morning, and we will get up in the morning, and we first of all, we're going to start making choices. We're going to have to choose between this and that in the morning. Even though this morning when we got up and was aiming to come to church, we made a choice. We made a choice that we wanted to be in God's house. We made a choice that we wanted to be here with God. I want to be where God's at. I want to be among God's people. God's people is what encourages me. And God's people can also encourage other people. Today, people are hurting. But we know that Jesus Christ, He left heaven. And when He left heaven, He come for the hurting society. He left heaven because His Father asked Him to. That right there shows me the love that He had. First of all, the love that He had toward His Father, that He was willing to go and to do what His Father asked Him to do. Are we willing to do? Are we willing to go that extra mile to do something special for the Father?
Are we?
I hope that I do. That's my prayer, is that I can go that little extra mile for the Father. Because of what the Father allowed for me to see. What he was doing that in heaven. Do you know God's word says God's no respect of person. He's no respect of an individual. It means that he don't love me more than he does you. And he don't love you no more than he does me. His love is the same. But I think the Father's love goes a little further than that. I can think about, and I'm just reminiscing right now, and I know it's not, maybe it's not about, may not be in scripture or whatever. I hadn't seen it. But the Lord Jesus was there with his Father there in heaven. And you know that they was having a wonderful time. They had to be. Because they was there together where there was no sin. There was no heartache. There was no death. But the Father seen when Israel had turned their back on him. So he knew that he had to do something for the people. Of his chosen people, he had to do something. He had to show them something. He shows us each and every day the same type of love, the same thing. He shows us every day. He shows us his mercy. But then the Father, he goes to his son there. And he says, son, we've been having a good time up here. Everything has been going wonderful. But my people, people down in there, they don't turn their back on me. They don't love me like they used to. They're wandering in Egypt. They're wandering in the land idea of sin. Now, son, I want you to leave heaven and go to this place called earth. That where we created the heavens and we created the earth. But he says, son, now I want you to go to earth. And what I want you to do is I want you to show your love to the people down there. And once you show your love toward that, then maybe the children of Israel will remember the love that they once had for you. But if not, then you still show your love to the other people. And I sure am glad he saw like the Gentiles. Because I'm a Gentile.
I'm not of a Jewish descendant. I'm a Gentile. And I'm so glad that when the Father let the Lord leave heaven, he left heaven as a form of a dove. As a form of a dove. And he came to earth, and that dove landed on Mary. That Mary would carry the Savior. That Mary would carry the Lord Jesus. Then you know the rest of the story, that she wasn't married. Oh, yes, she had a boyfriend. His name was Joseph. But you know, in that, Joseph just wanted to take and put her away, take her out of town, and probably put her in a little small village where nobody know him or her at all. Because the Bible does say that Joseph wanted to put her away privately. You could say it in a private home or a private institution or whatever. But the reason Joseph wanted to do that, because he didn't want people to start murmuring and talking about Mary. And you know the rest of the story there. How it was born. And we're going to be celebrating his birthday here in a couple weeks. It's going to be on a Sunday this year. We don't know really the right month or the right day of the Lord Jesus' birthday. But we do know it's not in the month of December. That was put out there by man. Man come up with that tradition that we would celebrate it that time of the year, all year. Because of why? Because man seen where it would be the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. His birthday. And then it wouldn't be but 2 weeks later. You'd be going into a brand new year. We don't even know if the year started on January 1. We don't know. Because we do not go by the calendar of the Jewish people. We don't go by the calendar of Israel. We don't go by God's calendar. We go by man's calendar, because that's what man has put us forward to. But I will say this, and I'm going to say this in closing. I believe that for us to really realize and emphasize the birth of our Savior and his particular birthday, we must look at it as each and every day of our life. Tells me, when he saved me, he said, "Son, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk with you. Day by day. One step at a time.
And I think that's what we can really, really emphasize on that quotation we just quoted, and I know it's a song about it. Little as much when God is in it. What is that saying? That's saying to me, I'm not little. Because I walk around every day because God lives within me. He lives within you.
We're going to, in January or one of them, I don't know exactly when we'll start it, but what I want to do is, once a month, I'm going to have a special day on a Sunday. On a Sunday morning, a special day. The first one is Philippine. And I know each and every one of us, we probably got family that's in church somewhere else. But we can just let them know that we're trying and we want to do our part. It don't matter if it's family, or if it's friends, or if it's an enemy. You need to come and fill up here. Fill up here, the first one. Then maybe February will be the month of love, I mean the love that we have towards people or our family or whatever. First one is Philippine. Then the second, I believe, in February, which is, they have a day there for Valentine's Day. We can take and go around that. And we're going to say, this particular Sunday is going to be family. Family day. Well, you invite your family. Then we can have a friends day. I want to try some new thing. I want to try something different. I want to get people excited. And I want to get people excited outside the doors here. Any community that used to come to church here, but they don't come no more. I want to do my part in trying to get them back in fellowship with God. And I think I know each and every one of you. I think I know your heart. And that's what you want. You want to do something where you get people excited. Because, you know, it's just like, well, me and Brother B was talking about it earlier. I went on the church's website, and it was Friday night, I believe it was. And I was looking on the website, and I noticed where he changed it all. It really looks good. It really does. And he had a
whole lot of the messages that I've preached, where it's recorded and everything, and I know some of them probably scattered and everything else, but you know. But I had it on. And I was listening to it through the computer. And as I was listening to it, my wife had called and said, "Come on to supper, darling. It's ready." It's all right. So naturally, I just go on into the kitchen, and I leave the computer going. I leave the speakers on. And I left the whole thing the same loudness that it was. And Cheryl says, I can't hear my own thing. So she went back and she's going to turn it down. Well, she didn't know how to turn it down. So Christy went back and she was going to try to turn it down. And she turned it down. I think she turned it off.
Her head.
But she said something to me later that night. And I was back there, been studying. She looked at me and she said, "Why in the world did you have that on?" I said, "Well, I tell everybody. If you don't enjoy your own preaching, how you expect other people to?" And I said, she said, "Well, you know, you got a point there." I said, "Well, sure I'm glad you were listening to me." But no, I mean, if we don't enjoy what we're doing for the Lord, then why are we doing it? Why are we doing it if we don't enjoy it? I enjoy serving my Lord. I enjoy going out here and meeting people. I enjoy going to Lowe's and different places like that and seeing other people. And I hand out a tract or something like that. And I'll give it to them. You'll be surprised at how much influence that we can have here. You know what your life is all about, don't you? What's your life all about? And pleasing the Lord. That's what my life is about. It's pleasing Him. Not pleasing my wife, not pleasing my daughter, not pleasing the church, but pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, see, as long as I'm pleasing Him, I'm going to be pleasing my wife. I'm going to be pleasing my daughter. I'm going to be pleasing my family. I'm going to please my family here at the church. I'm going to please the one that I go out here and visit. How am I going to do that? I do it with His love. That's what He's about. He's about love. But it is also about the wrath. His wrath. Today I just don't understand it, and I'm gonna take a series of, and I'm working on some of it now. Could probably be in like 3 months, 3 or 4 months. But I'm going to have a series of messages teaching on the chastisement of God, what it really means. What it really means. And we need to get in mind.
mind that, yes, the only reason he does chastise me is to keep me back in line. To keep me back in line. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. Now, Lord, we just pray, Father, that you'll take this message, Father, scatter it as it will, but we pray, Father, that you'll put it back together in the right way for each one of the individuals today to be able to maybe just they heard something out of the message. Father, something will be spoken to them. Lord, that we cannot continue to come into church the same way we've always had. Father, that we need to come into church with a joy and a heart and a love in our voice. And Father, we just want to thank you today for what you're going to do. I'm so thankful, Father, that you love me. I'm so thankful that you taught me how I could love you. Father, we thank you for that. We ask now that you speak to the people. Anything open in their heart today, we just pray, Father, that just come forward. Father, we know, Lord, that the altar is always open here. Father, they can just come to the front and just pray. And Lord, Father, we just want to thank you for saving us from the penalties of hell.